Well, good morning. Happy Easter. And we want to welcome all of you to our Resurrection Sunday service. And we're glad that you're all here with us today and gathered together. And a little bit later on, we'll be talking about or thinking about that question, what does Easter story mean to you and I? And so let's begin by standing and joining together and singing our Gloria Patria. Together for our call to worship. Christ is risen. Light out of darkness. Hope out of despair.
Grace out of surrender.
God, this is your grace, marvelous and wonderful.
This is your way, always and forever.
You raise us up with Christ, and we thank you. Well, let's join together. If you want to use your hymn books, you have 264 there this morning. He lives, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint this morning. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives,
Jesus lives
today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's journey. He lives, He lives. let's join together there in the bulletin for our opening prayer. God of life and love, we are here this morning to hear the good news of Easter. Cast aside our doubts and fears that we may hear your deep truth of love. Help us listen with expectation and hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Well, I'm going to sing one that you've heard me sing before, if you've been here. And this song is called Alive, and pray that I get through it. And this song is from the perspective of Mary Magdalene on that first Sunday morning. A little bit more so I can hear it here. I'm not going to show it. Okay. Sorry. Let's go back. That's okay.
Alive, alive, because He is Emmanuel, the promised King, the baby who made angels sing, Son of Man who walked with us, healing, breathing in our dust, the author of all history, the answer to all mysteries, the Lamb of God who rolled away the stone.
about Easter. Yes, people die, but because God raised Jesus from the dead, one day He's going to raise us too, to be with Him forever. That's a powerful thing. So we celebrate that today. We call it Resurrection Day. Or the first day of the week, as the gospel writers say. And you know what that tells me? That tells me what Paul said, which is right up there, is true. Look what it says. I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. But he doesn't stop there. He could have just made that simple statement, but he had to say more about it. Look what the verse says. Not death or life, not angels or rulers, not present things or future things, not powers or heights or depths or any other thing that is created. None of that can separate us from God's love. God always loves us. And that's because of Jesus. Because of what Jesus did for us. And that's why we celebrate today. And you can go out there and open up those eggs. And hopefully you have candy in them. Hopefully nobody missed an egg. That would be kind of a bummer if you opened it up and nothing was in there. But maybe it'll remind you of how the first disciples felt when they opened it up. When the tomb was opened up and he wasn't there. Because he was alive. And you know where he chooses to live at? Yes, he's sitting with God in heaven at the right hand of God. But he chooses to live in our hearts when we invite him in. And that's what's so exciting. And he'll never forsake us or leave us. He's always with us and always loves us. All right? Okay, you guys can head downstairs. See what you got going on there this morning. I don't know if Miss Rita was working on a lot of stuff there.
We're going to go to prayer this morning, and like we always do, we're only taking a few pressing needs this morning. We're not going to go through our normal routine and take 10 minutes because we'll run out of time. But if there happens to be any important prayer requests, we'll take a few of those. If you come in with some other ones and all prayer requests are important, let me just say that. But you can lift them up to the Lord when we go to prayer in a little bit. But if anybody happens to have something really important that we need to pray about, we're going to give you a chance to share that this morning. Is there anybody this morning that would like to share something before we go to prayer? Nobody. Well, I kind of emphasized the... I'm just going to share one real brief one. I don't know much about it. Maybe you know more. Jody got a report from a friend of ours that lives in the Miami School District. There was an accident where I believe it was a pickup truck hit a guy on a motorcycle. And from what the person was reporting, I don't think the person on the motorcycle made it. And do you remember what was it on? What road it was on? It was close.
589 and Peterson.
Yes, Peterson and 589. Yes. And so I don't know a lot more about it than that, but I think we probably should lift that situation and family up in prayer. That's got to be devastating. And so any other than this morning? Yeah, go ahead.
And also the Kelly family, their son has mild pneumonia.
Okay.
But the Wilker family, it sounds like it's pretty serious. He had metabolic acidosis.
Okay. All right. So we want to remember those two families in our prayers. I thought I saw another hand. Yeah.
I lost two cousins this week.
Tainer family. Okay. Tainer family with losing two cousins. Did you say Betsy? I don't need. I just need to know the first
Betsy.
One. Becky.
Betsy.
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 Thank you. Yeah. Especially when the air conditioner is running. Somebody else. Anybody else this morning?
Sandy Taylor.
Yes. Thank you for mentioning her. She does dog walking or dog sitting or something like that. And one of them knocked her down and she broke her leg.
Arm.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. So we want to remember that one. All right. Any others? It is a big joy. I saw her yesterday and she was as different as night and day from when I saw her a week, 10 days before that, or what, about a week or so. Yeah. So doing very well. So we're thankful for that. There's some other ones, the Shivington family, Priscilla, and we'll definitely be continuing to pray for strength for her. She's going through rehab. Allison and John. John had the triple bypass, I think, or something like that. And Allison has a cancer. And I know there's more on our monthly prayer list that are facing those same kind of things with cancer treatments and stuff like that. We'll lift them up. If there is a special need, maybe you didn't voice, but as she plays here in a moment, we'll give you a chance to pray quietly in your seats, and you can just lift those names up to the Lord there in your seats, and then I will close us out. So. Almighty God, we are so thankful that on this day, as we celebrate and remember the day that you raised your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead and brought him out of that tomb, and that we can celebrate eternity life, resurrection life, abundant life, because of what you have done and how you acted so long ago. And we can celebrate your love today that is unending, that is infinite, that goes beyond comprehension. And Lord, we are thankful for all of those things today as we celebrate. We want to lift up the needs of those, especially that were mentioned today. Lord, we think about the two kids from Miami East, the Wilker family and the Kelly family with those two young ones, Lord, with pneumonia and the other one with a serious illness, God. We ask for your healing touch and your healing grace to be extended to them. We lift up Betsy today, God, and that you would minister to her and grant your grace there in that situation. We lift up Allison and John today, God, and that you would minister to each of them and bring healing and strength to their bodies today. We continue to pray for Priscilla, and we're so happy that she's going to be able to go home and continue her therapy. We pray that as she's recovering from that knee replacement, God, that you will give her strength and healing for each day. We lift up these other families, the Shivington family, the family that lost this gentleman on that motorcycle, and the other one that was involved in the accident. The Tainer family today, God, also, we pray for your comfort, your peace, your grace, your love to be extended to them. And then, Lord, I agree now with anyone that lifted up needs, names, situations, whatever they may have been in their prayers just a moment ago. God, I set my heart in agreement with them, and we just ask that you would move and meet those needs. God, that only you can do that, that you would touch those that need to be touched. And we're thankful and grateful for that. We ask, Lord, for your blessing upon the rest of this service. As we break the bread of your word, may you feed our souls and fill us with faith to go forward, to be your people. And also, Lord, as we celebrate at the table, God, we just ask that your presence would be real, that your grace would be extended, and that your healing touch and your love would envelop our lives. And we thank you for all of these things this morning, as we ask it in the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you for praying with us this morning. We know it makes a world of a difference in people's lives today. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving today. We want to thank you for your faithfulness. And I'm always reminded of those words of the Apostle Paul out of 2 Corinthians, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Although it's a lot of fun to receive, isn't it? But there's something about that joy that we can be able to give and make a difference in people's lives. And so thank you for that. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity that we can be a part of your kingdom work in this world. Use this offering, Lord, to further that work through your local church right here. And as we reach out through our missions programs and other ways and avenues of ministries, as we ask it now in the name of Jesus and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. We're looking at two scripture passages that we're going to be reading. The one more familiar one that we often read during Easter, John chapter 20, one of my favorite stories, the way John tells the resurrection Sunday, first day of the week story there. We're going to be reading from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. And then we're going to be reading those famous words from Paul in Romans 8, verses 31 through 39. So let's begin there this morning in John. Early in the morning of the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." Peter and the other disciple left to go to the tomb. They were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and was the first to arrive at the tomb. Bending down to take a look, he saw the linen cloth lying there, but he didn't go in. Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb and saw the linen cloth lying there. He also saw the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other clothes, but was folded up in its own place. Then the other disciple, the one who arrived at the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They didn't yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw the two angels dressed in white seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. The angel asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they put him." As soon as she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Then from Romans 8, verses 31b through 39, "If God is for us, who is against us? He didn't spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Won't he freely give us all things with him? Who will bring a charge against God's elect people? It is God who acquits them. Who is going to convict them? It is Christ Jesus who died, even more, who was raised, and who is also at God's right side. It is Christ Jesus who also pleads our case for us. Who will separate us from Christ's love? Will we be separated by trouble or distress or harassment or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, we are being put to death all day long for your sake. We are treated like sheep for slaughter. But in all these things, we win a sweeping victory through the one who loved us. I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not death or life, not angels or rulers, not present things or future things, not powers nor heights or depths or any other thing that is created. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, you know how I like to usually start with something funny. On an Easter Sunday, a Sunday school teacher at the Church of Christ in Old Hickory, Tennessee, gave each of her children 12 eggs and helped them paint the names of the 12 apostles on their eggs. Her intent was to teach the children the names of the apostles. Well, 4-year-old Leah, granddaughter of George and Peggy, brought her egg home but forgot to take them into the house. Leah's father found her searching in the station wagon. "Where or what are you looking for?" he asked. "I'm looking for my 12 possums," she replied. She was close. Possums and apostles. I want to talk to you this morning about the power of God's love this morning. What does the Easter story mean to you? That question was up on the PowerPoint earlier in the service. I love stories that have happy endings. In fact, sometimes when I get so caught up in a movie or a show and it comes to the end and there's a twist and it doesn't have a good ending to it, I feel like something's wrong with that thing. Like, what'd they do that for? It was so good and then it ended horribly. Now, someone might say, well, maybe the bad ending is more like real life. Well, that's maybe true. But the Easter story is a happy ending. For me, the Easter story shows us how God's amazing love can break through the tombs of our lives. The tombs in our lives. And bring hope, second chances, new beginnings, and new life. When God raised Jesus from the dead, resurrection love was unleashed into the world. In fact, Paul says it's been shed abroad, like it was flowing out from God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me bring us closer to home as I share two things I want you to see this morning that might speak into some of our struggles in life and bring us hope in the midst of it all. First thing I want to share with you this morning is God's love brings us out of our tombs of despair. Despair. That's a struggling word, isn't it? Despair. Probably one of the most awful things we can face in life. Despair. After Friday, the disciples were overcome by hopelessness, despair, hopelessness. I mean, have you ever found yourself in a situation and thought, oh my gosh, how am I going to ever get out of this? How's this ever going to work out for my granddaughter? How's this ever going to work out for my cousin? How's this ever going to work out for my fill in the blank? Think about it. They had just lost their leader, Jesus. their teacher, their best friend. Just a few days before, they were so excited with such high hopes. But then Jesus was arrested, tried, and crucified. They were devastated. Just like we all would be when we lose a best friend or a family member. They were disillusioned. They were brokenhearted. They were entombed, so to speak, if you get my drift. Have you ever been there? Has it felt like that devastation, that disillusionment, that brokenheartedness just entombed you? And that's all you could see in that moment? Almost like it was suffocating you? When all seems lost, God's love in Christ brings us joy. This is one of the unique things about New Testament thought, is how God is able to bring joy and peace and so many other things into situations that are just overwhelming. And on that resurrection morning, when Mary encountered the risen Christ, her life was turned upside down. At first, she had no clue who it was, because he had been changed and transformed when he was raised from the dead. He was different, but he was the same. How do we know he was the same? Because when he spoke her name, Mary, it changed everything. Jim, Carla, Angie, Christy. I mean, I could go on, start naming off everybody. Ashley. I could keep going on. Every one of us. When she heard that name, it changed her world. It was turned upside down. Her sorrow was turned to joy. Her agony was turned to delight. She discovered what Paul had said that we read this morning. Nothing. Not even death could stop God's love. I meet Christians all the time, or even people that are not Christians, and said, oh my gosh, if you known what I've done in my life, God can't love me. God would never forgive me. But see, we're usually thinking in human love terms, because God's love is not human love. God's love is agape. It's beyond. It's greater. It's selfless. And she discovered not even death could separate her from Christ and his love for her. Because God's love in Christ made that possible. And God's love has the power to bring us out of our tombs of despair today. Whatever we're facing, or somebody you know. Love, God's love in Christ, can bring us out. Second thing is God's love brings us out of our tombs of defeat. Tombs of defeat. Even when we're not facing despair in life, we can still know that God loves us. Not only does God love us, but God has the power to break that despair and deliver us out of that defeat. Because if you think about it, it's like this. After Friday, the disciples were ready to quit. In fact, some of the stories tell us that they went and hid away because they feared that the religious leaders were going to try to track him down and get him. They thought, it's over. It's over. And Paul reminds us that even when we face trouble, distress, famine, harassment, nakedness, danger, or sword, we can still be overcomers because Christ was raised and sits next to the right hand of God. And not just sitting there, What's he doing? Paul tells us he is pleading our case. He's praying for us every day. Every one of you in here, you think, oh, God doesn't think about little old me. He's got too much going on. Jesus doesn't think about me. He's got too many other people to care about in the world. Nope. He does care about each of us. And he pleads our case and prays for us. Intercedes for us. And this is what I want you to see as we take this out of here today. Is when our dream seems crushed, God's love in Christ reminds us that we have only just begun. That's the beautiful story we heard this morning. Life and joy out of death and suffering. History tells us an interesting story. I think I shared this once before, maybe quite a while ago, but I'm going to share it again with you this morning. History tells us a story that I think illustrates this and the significance of God's love being with us. Ignaz Paderewski was a famous pianist and prime minister in Poland during World War I. And he was there in Poland at the end when they signed that agreement for peace during World War I. One time, Paderewski scheduled a concert in a small out-of-the-way village in hopes of cultivating the arts in Poland. A young mother bought tickets for the performance. Her young son was just a beginner. She brought him along to encourage him in his piano playing. When the night arrived, they found their seats near the front of the concert hall, and the mother spotted a nearby friend, and she began to visit and talk. Well, she was stunned to see that her little boy had took off, and she couldn't find him at first. Well, when the house lights came up and the spotlight came down on the piano, there was her 10-year-old son seated at the concert piano, picking out "Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star." Her mother was ready to faint. The stagehands ran out to grab the boy, but Paderewski appeared on the stage and waved them away. And he quickly moved to the piano, and standing behind the little boy, he whispered in his ear, "Don't quit." And then the little boy kept playing. He said, "Don't stop." And leaning over, Paderewski reached around with his left hand and began to fill in the bass part of "Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star." Soon his right hand reached around the other side, encircling the boy, adding the running accompaniment. Together, the old master and the young novice mesmerized the crowd with great music, "Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star," in a magic moment. I share that story with you this morning because through the miracle of God's love, Easter says to each of us, don't be afraid. Don't give up. Don't quit. I'm with you. I'm surrounding you with my arms of love and strength. And Easter reminds us to keep trusting in Christ. Come what may, because God's love is able to bring us out of our tombs of despair and defeat. And it all begins, as I've shared many times before, when we put our trust in Christ. For nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, as we prepare this morning to share in communion, as we often do, we join together for our prayer of thanksgiving and confession. And so I'm going to bring that up on the PowerPoint this morning. And I'm going to invite all of us, if you would like to pray with me this morning, I would encourage you to do that. And so let's do and prepare our hearts to receive at the table this morning. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you for your amazing love that raised Jesus from the grave and shattered the power of sin and death. You release resurrection life into the world so we might experience eternity life. Forgive our sins and meet us with your grace as we share at your table this morning. Remind us of the possibilities of life and joy we have in Christ Jesus, our risen Lord. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning with me, then receive of his grace today. Receive of his forgiveness and go forth and walk in those new possibilities that he has for us because of his great love. Amen and amen. Well, I'm going to invite our deacons and deaconesses, if they would make their way, as they're going to be helping out to serve us this morning at the table. And as we share and receive of the grace of Christ this morning.
Thank you.
Later he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Let's partake. The Apostle Paul said, as often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we're proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes. Shake a couple hands of some people around you. Don't spread all out because it's about that time to finish out yet, and then we've got to sing our hymn to finish out here. So take a moment or two and shake a couple hands. Oh, yes. Thank you. What? Yeah, I know. Yes. I was having some trouble getting it. I almost took a drink before that second verse, and I should have when I was singing. Okay. Yep. Let's stand as we go. 260, because he lives. We'll sing the three verses. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died. Savior live, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know he holds the future, and life is he lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know he holds the future, and life is worth a living. I'll cross the river, I'll fight my fight, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the light of glory, and I'll know he lives, because he just because he lives. One quick note, if you ordered flowers, you can take them with you today as you leave. Let's join together for a benediction. God's resurrection love is faithful and everlasting.
We are filled with new life and hope.
May resurrection love banish our fears, nourish our spirits, deepen our joy, and bring new life. Amen.